Two scriptures today. The first one's from Genesis 1, 26, 27, and 31. The second will be from Genesis 2, 15, then 18, 2, 23. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till and keep it. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he had made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks. Every year I try to do a message related to earth stewardship, conservation of the natural resources, just to remind us that stewardship means more than money. We always think of stewardship, we think of giving and money and pledge drives and all that sort of thing. But we are also called to be good stewards of creation. Good stewards of everything that God has given us. And today I want to look at what it means to live in harmony, to live in harmony with God, to live in harmony with ourselves, to live in harmony with one another, and to live in harmony with God's good creation. And today I want to just share a few thoughts about that and to share some insight that I've gleaned through this today. What does harmony mean? What do we mean by harmony? Now, obviously, most of the time, those of you that sing know what good harmony is. You know what bad harmony is. But it's the notes all working together in a pleasant and pleasing way. The dictionary definition is consistent, orderly, pleasing arrangement of parts. So it has to do with more than just music. We appreciate good harmonic music, but we're here today to talk about harmony as it relates to our relationships with one another and with God. I use the creation story, part of the creation story, from both the first and the second chapters of Genesis to kind of remind us that creation, the very creation that God created in the beginning, was meant to be in harmony with the Creator. There was so much harmony that Adam, the first human, walked in the cool of the night with God. Now, that's kind of hard to imagine because we know God as spirit, but there was such harmony between the creation and God that Adam was able to walk in the cool of the night and spoke with God. One of the things we're told in the book of Genesis that Ray read is that we were created in God's image. Created in God's image. Now, obviously, God has no physical image, but we were created in the image of God, which we'll talk about a little bit more. And all of creation was deemed very good by God. It was all very good. It was good, and then when he created humanity, he said it was very good. Very good. So here we're talking about total, complete, perfect harmony. And that is God's desire for creation today, is harmony in relationships. And we're going to talk about the four aspects of those relationships in just a moment. Well, we all know that something went terribly, terribly wrong in that picture, don't we? We know that through the free will that God gave human beings, they disobeyed God. Yes, they were tempted by the evil one. Yes, they were led astray, but they decided to rebel against God and decided against God's commandments. And of course, we know that to be the fall of humankind. Fall from the perfect image that became distorted, that perfect image became distorted by sin, which is rebellion against God. And today, we are still feeling the reverberations, the repercussions of that fall. All we have to do is turn on the television. All we have to do is look outside our windows. All we have to do is realize how broken humanity, even creation, is broken. There are wars, diseases, divorces, unnecessary abortions, broken relationships of all kinds. Even our natural resources give testimony to the brokenness in our society, with the destruction of rainforests and the pollution of our earth, our water, and our air. Why is this? Why does this have to be this way? Well, I believe it's because human beings are striving always to be in charge. Human beings, from the beginning, from the fall, have wanted to be in charge, to create God in their image. You can start with the building of the Tower of Babel, if you wanted to, right in the get-go in Genesis chapter 2, trying to make a name for themselves, it says. Humanity is trying to choose values and morals to suit themselves. Humanity is setting themselves up to be God. And that's really the essence of the New Age movement that you've probably heard about over the last 20 or 30 years. And it's permeated much of society and culture that is diametrically opposed to the teachings of Scripture. And it's become a problem for all of us. So what's the solution? How can this distorted, broken image relationship with God be fixed? How can this image, this perfect image we were created in, both for ourselves and for creation, be mended? How can we live in harmony again with God, with creation, with ourselves, and with one another? And I'd like to answer that with four questions today. How can I live in harmony with God? Well, this should come as no surprise. For we know that living in harmony with God, our relationship with God, is the most important relationship of all. I believe that if our relationship with God is right, then all other human relationships will be right as well. When we have this vertical relationship correct and worked out and understood, then other relationships become more manageable and understandable. For you see, this relationship determines all others. God has given us the antidote, the fix, if you will, for the broken image. The broken relationship with God was mended, was redeemed by who? Jesus Christ. And by faith in Jesus and what he did on the cross for us and his glorious resurrection is our answer to the broken image that we have with God. God saw the problem. God gave the remedy, the fix. And it begins with repentance. Repentance of our sin. Peter talks about repentance in his first sermon there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, which is coming up in a couple of weeks we celebrate. Peter says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Restoration to the image, the broken image of God in us, begins with confession of sin. Our sin is ever before us. Yes, Christ died for the sins of the world once and for all. But guess what? We still sin, don't we? We still mess up. We still say things, do things we know are contrary to God's law, and we know and we're sorry for them. But God's grace is greater than our sins. And God has provided the remedy for that through confession of sin and selfishness. And God is faithful through His holy word to forgive and deliver us from evil. Sure, we may stumble, we may fall, we may mess up over and over and over again, but as I said, God's grace is greater. Our sins are no longer counted against us if we are people of faith, if we believe, if we trust in Jesus' death and resurrection, if we have given our hearts to God, and we are called to live as God's people, walking by a different standard, God's morals, God's values, God's teachings, and live by the Spirit of God and the law of God written upon our hearts. That's how we stay in harmonious relationship with God on a daily basis. This is a daily thing, folks. It's not just a one-time thing. It's a daily thing and a challenge. But how can I live in harmony with myself? Did you know that your bodies, these physical bodies that God has given us, are temples of the Holy Spirit? They are the vessels that God has created that the Holy Spirit of God can dwell in. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." We don't own these bodies. They belong to God. And the Holy Spirit is meant to dwell in us. How do we care for these holy temples that God has given us? Well, we're physical beings, we're spiritual beings, and we're emotional beings. How do we care for ourselves spiritually? Well, we talk about this every week, just about. We pray. We come to church. We read God's word. We celebrate the sacraments. We stay close to God by staying close to one another and hearing God's word and studying God's word, forgiving one another, reconciling differences in our relationships, staying healthy spiritually by the means of grace. How do we stay healthy physically? Well, again, we touch on this from time to time. Last week or week before, I put up the food pyramid by eating healthily, eating good food, staying away from junk, the fast food junk, the salt and the sugar and the fats and all those things, or at least minimizing them so that we can have healthy bodies. We are what we eat. I believe that. We are what we eat. And I've challenged myself recently to think about everything that I put in my body. Is this good for me? Is this healthy? Is this a good thing for me? And then, of course, exercise. We all should be walking or doing something physical, some exertion, for at least 20 minutes a day. I try to walk 3, 4, 5 miles. Depends on my schedule, of course. I wear a pedometer. They got us preachers on a health kick here in the Methodist denomination because so many of us are out of shape, and because of the sedentary life, some of us leave. I don't know what sedentary life means. I haven't figured that one out yet. But it's good to have exercise. I don't think that needs to be harped on too much. We all know we need more exercise. Emotional. How do we take care of ourselves emotionally? By recognizing and honoring the Sabbath. If God had to rest after creating the universe after 7 days, God has given us the example that after our earthly labors, we need at least one day, whether it's Sunday or some other day, of renewal, of regeneration, of recreation or recreation. It's where the word recreation comes from. To recreate ourselves, taking your vacations, taking your days off, and truly having Sabbath time where you can renew your spirit and renew your bodies. Making time for spiritual, emotional, and physical selves are choices that cause us to be in a better position to be in harmony with others. And that's the next question. How can I live in harmony with others?